I want to speak to you this morning from the 12th chapter of the book of Mark, the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. While you're turning there, I would like to just express myself briefly this morning as we are thinking about the gift of Christmas and God's wonderful gift to us in Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful today for all of the manifestations of the goodness of God? The epitome of it being in the gift of Jesus. But aren't you thankful today for our musicians? Aren't you grateful today for gifts that God's given to His church? Aren't you thankful today for this church and this place? I look around this morning. I see we have a lot of visitors with us today. We have a lot of our families traveling. We have people in Florida and New York and Missouri and all over this country visiting their families. And they have given up their seats today so that those of you who are visiting with us today would have some places to sit. God has a way of working that all out, doesn't He? And we welcome you from Florida and South Georgia and wherever you're from all over this great country of ours. We're glad that you're here visiting with your family and with your church, with the church family here at Water of Life. Mark's Gospel, the 12th chapter. In the 11th and 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has been confronted here with the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the Jewish faith. Here He is confronted by religion in its manifested form. Religious and supposedly knowledgeable men have confronted Him and have questioned His authority and have tried to ensnare Him and entrap Him in His words. And in the 12th chapter, at that break, the first verse, Jesus, in the midst of this discussion, tells them a story. And as I was reading the story this week, I sensed a revelation of Christmas and some things in the story that I think will be profitable for us today as we remember it. And He began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen. Went into a far country. And at the season, he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him, and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman, and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people. For they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. Jesus had a wonderful way with stories. He had a wonderful way with parables. He had a wonderful way with taking earthly stories and in them hiding tremendously important heavenly principles. And here a story that all of these men would understand. About a man who owned a portion of land and who planted in it a great vineyard and built a vat for the tramping out of the grapes and built a tower in the vineyard from which enemies could be seen and the tower could be protected and built a hedge all the way around it and had provided everything that the vineyard needed so that it would bring forth a fruitful harvest and it would not be destroyed. And in it, he placed some men, called in this story husbandmen or gardeners or caretakers, those who did not own the vineyard, but who would manage it for the owner, and who would tend the vines, and who would look after the provisions that had been made there. The vineyard owner had made every provision for the vineyard. There was nothing that it lacked. The husbandman had all of the tools and all of the equipment and all of the rights granted by the vineyard owner to tend it, to look after it. The only thing the owner wanted was his fruit in due season. When it came time for the harvest, when the season arrived that the fruit should be ready, the owner sent one of his servants. And when he arrived, the husbandman, desiring not to allow the owner to participate in the fruits of the vineyard, but desiring to have it all for themselves, they treated him miserably, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. In rejecting the servant, they had rejected the owner. In rejecting the messenger who had come to take of the fruit of the harvest, they had rejected the one who had planted the vineyard. And so the vineyard owner sent another servant. This one they stoned, wounded him in the head, shamefully handled him, and continued to reject the one who owned the vineyard. The vineyard owner sent more and more of his servants. Season after season, he sent them looking for the fruits of his ownership. Season after season, the husbandman rejected his authority, rejected his ownership, rejected his right to have a portion of the harvest, stoned them, killed many, beat the rest. As a last resort, the vineyard owner said, I have one son. He's my well-beloved. He's the only one I have, and surely they will not shamefully treat my son. Surely if I send my own son, surely they will receive him. Surely they will honor him. Surely they will recognize that he is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, and he carries my name, and surely they will honor him and treat him the same as they would honor me and treat me. And so I'll send my son. When the husbandmen saw the son, they said, aha, here is the only one that has a right to this vineyard other than the owner himself. If we destroy him, he's the heir. No one else will be able to challenge our authority in the vineyard. No one else will be able to lay claim. No one else will be able to inhibit what we want to do here. No one will be able to make trouble for us. We'll be able to live and do just as we want. And instead of being stewards in this vineyard, we'll live like owners. We'll be kings here. We'll make our own decisions. We'll tell other people what to do. We can follow our own selfish dictates and follow the desires of our baser nature. We can operate as if we owned the place, as if we created it, as if we had placed the vines here and planted them ourselves, as if we had built the hedge, as if we had built the tower, as if we had built the wine vat. It'll be ours, all ours, and we won't have to give anything to anybody. Let's kill the heir. And so they took him, and they killed him, and they threw him out of the vineyard. Jesus asks the question, what will the vineyard owner do when he hears about that? That's obvious to us, as it was to the men who were standing there that day, that Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. That God had planted the earth, that he had established it. The Word of God tells us that God Almighty established the earth on the foundation of the floods. Where there was nothing, he took and made something. Everything that is, God made from that which was not. The earth is the Lord's, the Bible says in Psalm 24 and 1, and all of the fullness thereof belongs to Him. The earth and everything, the world, and all of those that dwell therein. He made every provision. He planted every tree. He created every man. He caused everything to proceed from itself. He caused every seed to produce of its own kind. And then he put man in the midst of it as a steward and as a manager. And he gave man dominion over all that he had. Man unfortunately decided that he did not want to honor the owner, that he wanted to use the earth and all that was in it for his own selfish purposes, that he wanted to have his own way, that he wanted to make his own decisions, that he did not want to be beholden to someone who was living in a distant country. Man decided that he did not want to acknowledge any authority higher than his own. And he certainly did not want to render either allegiance or profit to someone who he could not see, someone who lived in another place. And so he broke that relationship and began to live for himself. That's what happened, you know, in the Garden of Eden. He decided, I want no other gods but me, rather than no other gods but thee. Mankind lived century after century after century for his own self. He lived by his own base instincts. He sunk lower and lower and lower. There came a day when the owner of the vineyard, the owner of the earth, God Almighty, said, it's time for some fruit. He began to send his servants. He began to send his messengers. He sent his prophets. He sent his priests. He sent his kings. He sent his anointed ones to gather that which was in the earth which belonged to him. But those husbandmen over whom he had given stewardship of the earth cast stones at the prophets, starved them, put them in jail, killed them. Took a man by the name of John the Baptist, you'll recall, and lopped his head off. I call that a shameful treatment. And he was simply one of many. Then one day the father said, I have one son. He's my well-beloved. I love him very, very much. He's more precious to me than anything or anyone. He's special. But surely the men of the earth will honor him. And so I'll send my only son. He came on Christmas Day. Whether it was December the 25th or not is not terribly important to me at any rate. But on that first Christmas, God sent his son to gather some of the fruit from the earth that belonged to him. Unfortunately, when he came, he was also rejected by most. He was killed. He was cast out of the city. They wouldn't even kill him in Jerusalem. They took him outside the city and killed him on a hill. I want you to notice something today from this story that just struck me. It's in the sixth verse. There's one word in the sixth verse that just impressed me. It impressed me so that it's the primary reason why I'm sharing this story today. The word is the word last. L-A-S-T. In the parable, Jesus said that the husbandman sent his son last. Jesus is the last messenger that God is sending to the earth. If you reject him, you are lost. And you will stay lost. If you're looking for another, you must stop looking. God has sent his last messenger. How can you reject the Son and come to the Father? You cannot. He sent many, many messengers, many, many servants prior to that day. But on that day, God Almighty spoke his final word to the earth. He sent his last messenger. What I'm giving you today is his message. Hebrews chapter 1 and the first couple of verses says that in times past, God spoke to the earth through His servants, the prophets. But in this last day, He has spoken to us by His Son. God doesn't have any other message for the earth except Jesus Christ. That's His final word. There are not going to be any other words. He's already spoken it. The last word is Jesus. The last word is, "Whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And whoso rejecteth Him shall be damned." For didn't Jesus ask the question? I think it could be asked of our society today. What do you suppose in verse 9 the Lord of the vineyard will do? What do you suppose that God Almighty is going to do to the earth? What do you suppose that God is going to do to those who He has put in custody of the earth and given dominion over the earth, who have rejected servant after servant, who have killed the anointed prophets of God, and who have rejected and, in a sense, killed the heir as well? What do you suppose is going to happen to those who are on the earth without Jesus on the day when the owner of the vineyard comes? You suppose He'll have another message for them? You suppose He'll have another messenger for them? You suppose there will be another opportunity for them? No, there will not. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and play patty cake with the husbandman. We have millions of people in this world that live as if they believed that that's what the Bible said. But the Lord of the owner of the harvest is not going to play patty cake with this world, nor with those who are unfaithful stewards, nor with those who have rejected His messengers. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman. He will come and destroy the husbandman. He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard to others. Don't you see, Jesus said, haven't you read the scripture that said the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner? God is building an eternal kingdom. He's building a kingdom which will last forever, and He laid Jesus Christ, His only Son, as the foundation stone. When that building began to be constructed, He's not coming back in and lay another cornerstone. There will be no other cornerstones laid save that one which has already been laid, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The message that God has to the world today, the message that the owner of the vineyard is sending to the world today, is not Santa Claus. It is not the spirit of giving. It is not any of those things. The message of Christmas is Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And that is the only and final message that God is speaking to the earth. If you are looking for another, you are on a wild goose chase. Now, if you have never chased a wild goose, let me save you some trouble. You can't catch them. I encourage you today. And I encourage you to encourage others to not reject God's final message to the earth. God has said all He's going to say. And His messengers today, of which I am one, of which you are multiplied others, carry forth the same message. What is that message? God Almighty's already spoken to the earth. And what did He say? Jesus is what He said. Jesus is what He said. Do you know what the word Jesus means? God is Savior. God is Savior. You can't save yourself. God will have to do it for you. And He did it in the person of Jesus. His message is Jesus. I encourage you today, if you have not responded to that message, I don't want to frighten anybody today unnecessarily. But I am called to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Woe unto me if I don't declare it. I've got to speak the truth. And the truth is, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, I mean if you have not been converted from the inside out, the Bible calls it the new birth. If you have not been born again, if Jesus has not become of your own free will your Savior and the Lord of your life, you are a husbandman today in trouble. For if God comes to get the fruit of that vineyard, there'll be no more opportunity. If God comes to get the fruit of your life and there's none there, there'll be no more chance. You'll say, but that's not fair. I'm telling you how fair it is. God is giving you every chance today. If you reject this one, then what right have you to expect another? I wouldn't want to be caught dead or alive in that condition. Would you pray with me, please?